And do you know how Dr. Ains funded his lab? Was it through, did the university provide all the funds, or were there grants?
No, it
Grants.
was grants.
Did he expose you at all to the grant writing process?
Yes.
What did he wind up doing?
We wrote a lot of the
Wrote a lot
grants.
of them.
Okay.
Yeah,
And down to back then, I'm sure it's all electronic now, but back then you would have to get the grant and 20 copies of the grant by a certain time and date. And I remember many times we'd be there late at night and collating by hand, 20 copies to make sure you had it all together. And then you'd box it up and you'd have to rush it over and get it to the post office so you could
Before
get
you
it to the
close.
granting agency by a certain date.
'Cause they would have to distribute the physical copies to
Right, because
the
back
potential
then,
reviewers. There's
right,
no sending
no.
an e well, I mean, okay, so late 70s we did have early electronic systems, but definitely not like people just printing out PDFs.
No,
Right.
yeah,
Yeah.
right.
No. We did calculations by hand and punched cards
Yeah,
to do.
computer cards.
So were you actually using punch card systems while
Uh-huh.
doing your work? And was this to do calculation? What sort of calculations were you using this for in your
Just
work?
statistics mostly.
Statistics mostly,
Statistics.
yeah.
Okay. At the university, did they have multiple computer systems, or was it one centralized one that?
One centralized place.
And so you had to sign up for time on the computer?
Yeah, it's a big deal. Get used to going down there at 10 at night and getting out of there at 2 in the morning.
Yeah, time sharing.
And you would handwrite and give it to the secretary, and then you would beg her to, if she wasn't too busy, to type up your stuff for you. And then she would give it to you, and you would literally cut and paste and give it back to her, and she would type it up again for you.
Yeah, I remember cutting and pasting, even in college.
Yeah.
I mean, that it was just easier to visualize things for
Yeah.
me that way. Just a random question: did you ever, see, since you were working with punch cards, did you ever actually accidentally drop a batch of punch cards? Yeah.
You did? I don't
Not
think so.
very often, but
Yeah.
yeah.
Yeah, because I mean, they have to be put in a specific
Yeah.
sequence, and if they're out of
Yeah,
sequence,
that's just
it kind of doesn't work.
that's got to be a bad feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You do that once.
You had mentioned, I think the name was Marlon.
Yeah.
Marlon Brandon, yeah.
Marlon Brandon. And so you're finishing up your degree. At that point in time, were you certain that you were going to, were you looking for positions in academic institutions? I know there was this
Yeah.
opportunity that came up with this one individual, but I was wondering if you had started the job search process before you found out about that specific position.
Oh, I don't think so. Do you?
I mean, we would get the publications and you look at see what jobs were available. But I think that one kind of popped up, and that was
'Cause it worked on Rice,
just right down his
and it
alley.
was right down there in Louisiana.
So two questions. What attracted you to Rice? It was mentioned earlier that like you became
Because
interested.
it's main crop that's used to nourish people.
And so this was the feeding the world
Yeah, feeding
solution
the
for you.
world,
Okay.
exactly.
And there was no attraction to any other type of, like, I mean, soybeans. I know that you focused on soybeans for your
No.
research, but.
Rice is something you grow and you eat.
Yeah,
You don't
and there's so
process
much
it.
of it
And
grown that if, you know, if the impact, a small impact is a huge impact,
so
you
much of
know.
the world depends on it.
Yeah.
And it is a good nutrition. It is lacking in a couple of amino acids, but
Yeah.
if you throw some
But
beans
in
in there,
general, if you can get enough rice, you're in good shape.
So there's this one opportunity. Now, I don't believe you'd mentioned traveling east at all, right? So, I mean, it was California, well, I guess Kansas, you'd been for a couple of years, right? A little away from the West Coast. It sounded like, though, when we were talking about this opportunity to go to LSU, it sounded like you, in addition to the type of work and focusing on rice was important, but it also sounded like you might have wanted to move away from the West Coast. Is that accurate? That you were interested in moving beyond just West Coast life?
No, I think I was pretty pleased with just getting to California.
Okay.
I think if a job was available in California, you would have taken it versus go to Louisiana.
Oh, I see what you're asking.
So you would have preferred being in California over moving to Louisiana?
Well, I don't know, because rice was such a big crop in Louisiana.
Okay.
And they have I don't know if we've mentioned this, a rice festival where we live in Louisiana. The city has a rice festival every year.
But there was a rice research station, and there was rice research in California.
Yeah.
But there was no jobs.
They didn't have the funding, and they didn't have any openings.
Okay. So it turned out that since Louisiana had the opening and you were interested in rice, that's where you were going to go.
Right, and a brand new lab and money to equip it. It was pretty sweet.
Did you have any concerns about moving to Louisiana?
I got more concerned while I was there. People were different from California people.
In what way?
More traditional, not very outgoing. Mm-hmm. California, you could meet somebody and they could be friendly immediately. Not so much in the South. It's kind of formal friendship. Mm-hmm. You know, they were polite, but it was just more manners type thing than, you know, hey, nice to meet you, buddy. Want to go get a beer or something like that? Mm-hmm. So there's different.
So different cultural experience.
Different cultural, yes, right. Because everybody knew everybody except you.
Mm-hmm.
So it worked.
Very small town. So even though it was part of LSU, the main campus was in Baton Rouge. But this research station is in Crowley, which is, at the time, maybe 14,000, 15,000. But now it's probably down to 12. Very small, rural environment. Mm-hmm.
Did you visit there before accepting the job?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so I knew about it. Knew what I was getting into.
Knew you were getting into.
But they also took me through the lab. Mm-hmm. You know, here's a brand new lab. Who gets their own brand new lab, you know, fresh out of grad school. That was part of it.
And so what was the nature of the offer? Was it that you were going to be a research scientist in that specific lab? Were you going to, were you being hired to be a research scientist? Were you hired to be a faculty member that also had teaching responsibilities? What was the actual nature of the position?
I'd be a faculty member, and I would definitely not have teaching responsibilities.
Okay.
They were pretty adamant about that. They didn't really want me splitting off to do. They were hiring me to do research, and that's what they expected me to do. So.
Mm-hmm. Do you know if there are other positions, other individuals who were being interviewed for that position?
Yeah, there were, I don't know how many. I think there was like about 10 other guys, though, that got kind of the final cut, and they might have interviewed that group twice or something like that.
Mm-hmm. And what was the overall process like? I mean, you had a site visit. When you were there, were you presenting on the research that you had done? Were you talking about research that you might want to do? What was part of the application process?
Talk about what I had done in my thesis, what I did in my thesis.
So giving a standard scientific talk?
Right, exactly.
Had you given talks elsewhere during your graduate career? You'd mentioned going to meetings and giving presentations.
National meetings. So had a we got a fair amount of practice in that. So wasn't a big deal to talk.
And I know it's been 40-ish years now. do you recall what it is? So you were talking about the research that you had done. Did you get a sense for what it is that LSU wanted to do in that research position? Was it a predefined, like, we want you to come here to work on this specifically, or did they just want you to come and you develop a project?
Come and I developed a project. I think they were looking to me to come in and establish the project.
Mm-hmm.
And they would supply all my clear idea of what was needed, mm-hmm. and you know what, and so carve out this, you'll be doing this, and here's, you'll be doing this too, and then if you want to do some more of that, be up to you. It was pretty much, it's up to me.
Okay.
When I come down.
And so do you have a general sense or a general understanding of why LSU wanted to open the research station there?
It's the oldest one in the, I think in the U.S.
So,
oh, okay, so
it's the, yeah.
New facility, like...
It's a new new building.
So new building, yeah, okay.
It was a very, again, traditional agricultural research center.
Mm-hmm.
And they had 17 of them around the state, and they focused on certain crops, and they did. And this one was internationally known for the rice research it did. And I
yeah,
think
it still is.
Louisiana at the time had oil money, mm-hmm. and they were, so they could hire new faculty at starting wages much higher than any other university. You know, they just had this flow of money. And I think biotech all of a sudden was popping up, and they said, oh, we don't have anybody doing biotech. We need to start some biotech stuff.
Okay.
And that's when I think Marlon Brandon, who had come
yeah.
there to be
an agronomist,
said, well, I know somebody, and kind of thing. And
yeah,
at the time, had Kent, or yeah, Kent McKenzie had already moved there too. He was a breeder at Davis, a rice breeder,
yeah.
a graduate student at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And he, Marlon, I think, got him to come down and be the rice breeder
mm-hmm.
There.
Right.
So then they said, hey, let's get Tim down here. You know, so, and I think that's how, when you applied. And
what did Bill think of your decision?
Bill Raines?
Bill Raines, yes.
I think he was very pleased with it because mm-hmm. it's almost unheard of for somebody to get that kind of funding walking in the door,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Where had some of his other students gone? Were they mostly academics?
Both? I think, yeah, both had gone both ways. And it was funny because I've mentioned earlier about we'd all sit around and decide which way we're going to go. And there was this two individuals I remember. She was adamant she was going into academics, and he was adamant he was going into industry. And about 3 years in, boy, they switched. You know?
Who was that?
Carol.
Bob Witch?
No. Carol Meredith and
oh.
Blanking on the other guy's name.
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was just funny, you know, because where everybody ended up. Bob went into Illinois or
yeah.
Iowa or somewhere.
Yeah.
Back there.
So Bill was very comfortable with students going to industry, going to...
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
yeah.
So he wasn't just like, you need to be an academic and that's
no.
the only true research or anything like
yeah.
that.
Yeah. This was also a unique position because most... a lot of our friends were getting into academics and they're scrambling to make tenure, they're teaching, they're trying to do research, they're trying to write grants, they're trying to do publications, and you know, here Tim walks in, you know, we built you a facility, here's money for your research, it's 100% research, no teaching, you can have students or postdocs if you want,
but you don't have
here's
to.
A technician, you know, several technicians. I mean, it was just kind of an unheard of thing at that time
yeah.
for all of our
That's
friends who were starting out.
That's what a completely senior faculty member at
right.
Davis would get.
Right.
You'd never get that walking in the doors.
So it was
fresh
nice,
out.
Nice setup.
Yeah, sounds like a spectacular opportunity.
Yeah.
yeah.
So I know we've been going for almost 3 hours.
Wow.
Right. That kind of flew by.
And so from my perspective, this transition seems like a good stopping point for to pick up tomorrow. But before we stop, I want to make sure that there isn't something that I didn't ask about that you were hoping to talk about or to mention or to have be part of this oral history in the, you know, again, could be like, I remember my first bottle when I was a kid, like whatever it is, up to this point in time, is there something that you want to talk about that we didn't talk about or that you would want to talk about in greater detail before we end for the day? And if you don't think of anything now, we can always start tomorrow with, oh, you know what? Last night I remembered I wanted to talk about this. But I like to give people the opportunity. Since I've been pushing people.
That's very nice of you.
Okay. All right. So should we stop here for today?
Yeah, I think so.
All right.
And we should just...